وعليكم السلام.
How are you, brother Omar?
Alhamdulillah. Eid Mubarak. I hope you had a great Ramadan, Sheikhna.
Yeah, Eid Mubarak to you as well. Yes, Alhamdulillah. A lot of traveling. I've been traveling quite a lot, so that's kind of tired me a bit.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah.
Yeah, and then last week I was in Norway, so that's why I couldn't do the class.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I got a little bit confused, but, you know, we just checked the thing. I didn't see anything, so, you know, it's not a big deal, but alhamdulillah, we're excited to resume, you know.
Yes, so it's just me and you today, looks like. Let's just give it a few more...
Yeah, let's give it a few more minutes, inshallah. Yeah, because I don't see anybody else on. Yep.
So where are you calling from, brother Omar? Is it Canada, did you say?
No, I'm in Virginia. So I'm in Virginia, okay. Right near Washington, D.C. Alhamdulillah.
And what time is it in your place? Presumably
it is, so behind. It is 1 o'clock p.m., 1:03 p.m.
Okay.
And it's 6 o'clock in U.K.?
Yes, it is 6 o'clock.
Got it.
Okay, let's have a look. There will be some cancellations, and that's just the nature of, you know, my job. I travel quite a lot.
Right.
And unfortunately, because of that, you know, I have to, you know, I'm traveling, so I can't teach when I'm traveling. So next week, actually, we won't have a class because I'll be traveling to London, and I'll actually be on the train at this time, so it'll be quite difficult. Okay. The week after, we can.
Okay.
The week after, we can't. And then, let's look at June.
Okay, let me just write these down, Sheikhna, 1 second. So,
yeah.
So next week, no class.
Yeah, next week, that's the 14th, there's no class.
Okay, week of the 14th, no class. The week after, there is class.
There is class.
And then the week after that, which is, what week is that, Sheikhna?
Is the 28th of May, there's no class.
Okay.
Week. And then...
No class, okay.
Then there's no cancellation in all of June, hopefully.
Inshallah. Okay, no cancellation in June.
Inshallah. And there isn't any cancellation in July, so at the moment, but things I try not to, because I've made this commitment to WISE, so I will try not to put things in, but these were things that were there from before, so I can't get out of those.
No problem. Okay, no, that's good. No, I wrote those down. That's very useful, so we know. Yeah, I just think sometimes in the app, they don't tell us, you know, before. So if they can, they send an email when it's when there is a class. So we know there is a class. But I assume if I don't get an email, there's some cancellation or something like last week. But there was no, like, email saying, like, the class is canceled. You see, Sheikhna, so... So
yeah,
that,
I mean, I really don't deal with any of the admin side of it, so I don't. I just teach. Yeah.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to mention that, but it's good. I have the list now, so that's good. Inshallah, if the others join, we can also let them know that. But it's good just to have it on the plan.
Okay, and just asked Hussein if he's attending. Yeah, I've been doing a bit of, today's, it's quite nice. So I've been doing a bit of gardening. So.
MashaAllah. What are you gardening?
No, there's no gardening in the, just basically, mowing the lawn. So.
Oh, okay.
not that kind of gardening.
Gotcha.
Good. Okay, let's start the class because I don't think anybody's going to come. It's their loss. Okay, let me, because I'm on my iPad, my computer's completely died. So, and let me just find out how to do this. Share content, share screen. Start broadcast. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. What I need to do is... Okay, now what can you see?
I see your screen. It's I see the Nuzha. Yep, I see the I see the text. It's up. Yep.
Okay, that's good. And it's clear?
Yep, it's clear.
Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'd. So we were discussing khabarul wahid. خبر الواحد المحتف بالقرائن. Do you remember that discussion? خبر الواحد المحتف بالقرائن.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is that normally خبر الواحد, the knowledge that we get from خبر الواحد is ظني. However, right, there are times when the knowledge that we get from خبر الواحد, it is يقيني. But it is a delayed yaqini. It's khabr al-wahid yaqini an-nazari. Okay, and that's in when it is known khabr al-wahid al-muhtaf bil-qara'in. When there are other qareena, other stuff associated with that khabr al-wahid, that gives it that extra edge over a normal khabr al-wahid.
Right.
So for example, we looked at the ahadith which is in Sahihain. So that's a khabr al-wahid al-muhtaf bil-qara'in. Another, second one, al khabr al-wahid al-muhtaf bil-qara'in is today's sabak, which is وَمِنْهَا الْمَشْهُورُ إِذَا كَانَتْ لَهُ طُرُقٌ مُتَبَاجِنَةٌ سَالِمَةٌ مِنْ دُعْفِ الرُّفْطُرُ. Okay, so Maulana Hussein is not joining. He's on his way to a nikah. Okay. Do you want to take my number down so you can contact me directly? Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's
fine.
Plus four four. 96.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. ومنها المشهور إذا كانت له طرق متباينة سالمة من ضعف الرواة والعلل. The second خبر الواحد المحتف بالقرائن is the مشهور when it is إذا كان له طرق متباينة. It has a number of turuqs. Turuq is the jama of tariqa. And remember, turuq basically means that which is more than kind of 10. Okay? So it has many tariqs, many isnads, and all of them, salimatun min du'afir ruwat, all of them do not have, free from any weak narrators. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the narrators are of sahih level. Obviously, if the narrators were of the sahih level, then the hadith would have been, would have been sahih. Okay? But the hadith sahih is also can be mashhur. But right, here we're talking about that the mashhur hadith, إِذَا كَانَتْ لَهُ طُرُقٌ مُتَبَايِنَةٌ. So mashhur is the one that basically has many isnads. Yeah?
Right.
But the isnads don't add up to the number of isnads in a mutawatir. Okay, so it right, falls below the mutawatir. However, all of the isnads in the mashhur, they are, they do not have any weak narrators in them. Okay, so it's not right, necessary that every single isnad in a mashhur hadith will be salim min ad-du'f, will be free from any weaknesses. It's not necessary, right? That's not a precondition of mashhur. Okay, but the khabr al-wahid al-muhtaf bil-qara'in, for the mashhur, is the one where none of the isnads of that particular hadith, mashhur hadith, is weak. So So because now this this mashur hadith has got, let's say, 10 isnads, and all 10 isnads are free from any kind of weakness, then we will basically say that this is a rare case, and in a situation like that, this hadith is khabr al-wahid al-yaqini al-nazari. Does that make sense?
Yes. So you, if you had 10 isnads, all 10 are hasan, for example. None of them are sahih, but you have 10 of them, then this has given us certain knowledge, even though all 10 are hasan.
Yeah. So all 10 can be sahih as well. Okay.
All 10, of course. Just, of course.
Yeah. It just says that there can't be any weaknesses in them. Okay.
Right.
Because a mashur hadith can have also weak isnads, but here he's saying, yes, despite that, every single isnad is sahih, or doesn't have any weakness in them, so as hasan and sahih. Yeah. So that then gives it a bit more strength over your normal khabr al-wahid. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, yes.
Okay.
Well, Sheikh, is he talking about the hadith as in the wording will be identical in all 10, or is he also referring to the hadith mashur where the meaning will be the same, but maybe the wording will be a little bit different for the different
Aspects. So it's not necessarily the wording has to be the same. It's just basically the meaning. But it's the same hadith in the sense that it's the same sahabi is narrating. Do you remember we said the difference between tabi'ah? Have we done that? The difference between tabi'ah and
Shawahid? Yeah, we did that a few classes ago. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same hadith. The sahabi is the same. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so it's salimatu min du'afi ruwati wal ilal, free from also defects. Wa mimman sarraha bi ifadatihi al ilm an nadariya al ustad Abu Mansur al Baghdadi wal ustad Abu Bakr Furak wa ghayruhuma. And from the scholars who have clearly indicated that this type of mashhur also gives benefit of al-ilm al-nadhari al-yaqini is Ustaz Abu Mansur al-Baghdadi and Ustaz Abu Bakr ibn Fawruk and others. Okay, it is quite interesting to note that the two scholars that Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani mentions are not actually hadith scholars, but they're kalam stroke usuli scholars. Which basically means that this is more of an usul al-fiqh discussion, rather a theoretical usul al-fiqh discussion, rather than a usul al-ulum al-hadith discussion. Okay, just wanted to mention that. In a way, this is kind of theoretical. It would be very rarely to find a hadith like that. Yeah,
right.
وَمِنْهَا المسلسل بالأئمة الحفاظ المتقنين. Now the third type of خبر الواحد, which gives faida of يقين النذري. The third type of محتف بالقرائن is that hadith المسلسل بالأئمة الحفاظ المتقنين, that which has a continuous chain of stalwart scholars of hadith. Okay, so the narrators in the isnad, they're all of the highest caliber. حيث لا يكون غريبا, such that it is not غريب. كالحديث الذي, such like the hadith which يرويه أحمد بن حنبل مثلا, like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he has narrated it. ويشاركه فيه غيره عن الشافعي, and there are other students who have also narrated this hadith with him from Imam al-Shafi'i. So he's not the so basically the condition is مسلسل بالأئمة الحفاظ المتقنين, right? That there are imams of hadith, stalwart imams of hadith, who are narrating this hadith, but the hadith cannot be gharib. There has to be, you know, it's not finding out horizontally as well. So for example, right. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, others have also, Ash-Sharik also narrated a particular hadith alongside him from Imam al-Shafi'i. وَيُشَارِكُهُ فِيهِ غَيْرِهِ عَنِ الشَّافِعِي So let's say Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and five of his classmates, they heard a hadith from Imam Shafi'i. Okay? وَيُشَارِكُهُ فِي غَيْرِهِ عَنْ مَالِكِ ibn Anas. And Shafi'i is also has others alongside him who have narrated it from Malik. And then Shafi'i heard this hadith alongside another five students from Imam Malik. So you see, in all stages of the isnad, although there are, like this Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal who narrates from Imam Shafi'i, who narrates from Imam Malik, but it's not a single chain. There are people who have, that's the condition. Because if it's a single chain, then it won't fulfill this condition of muhtafil qara'in. So the isnad has to have, in all the generations, it needs to have these great scholars, but there needs to be mutaba'at of them. Yeah? Does that make sense? Because if it's gharib, then there is no corroboration. You see, corroboration is important.
It seems the only gharib that Ibn Shaykhna Ibn Hajar says could give you certain knowledge from what we reviewed is the first one that the two sheikhs, Bukhari and Muslim, narrate. But in the second and third example, gharib cannot, it won't reach to certain knowledge.
Yeah. فَإِنَّهُ يُفِيدُ الْعِلْمِ عِنْدَ سَامِعِهِ وَيُشَارِكُ فَإِنَّهُ. So this third type, right, this mm-hmm. المسلسل بِالْأَئِمَّ الْحُفَّظِ الْمُتْقِنِينَ, this is when he says فَإِنَّهُ, this is what he's referring to. يُفِيدُ الْعِلْمَ, this gives benefit of عِلْم, يَقِينِ عِلْم, عِنْدَ سَامِعِهِ بِالْإِسْتِدْلَالِ مِنْ جِهَةِ جَلَالِةِ رُوَاتِهِ, to the listener. If I know you feel the in the Sami'i bil istidlal by extrapolating evidence min jihati jalali ruwatihi, from the point of view of the magnanimity and the greatness of the ruwats. So basically saying that as soon as the listener listens to the narrate, حَدَّثَنَا أَحْمَدْ إِبْنُ حَنْبَلُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا الشَّافِعِي قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مَالِكُ. Well, people will think, whoa, you know, just by listening to that isnad, right, whoa, this is a great isnad. So this is what he's saying, فَإِنَّهُ يُفِيدُ الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ سَامِعِهِ بِالْإِسْتِدْلَالِ مِنْ جِهَةِ جَلَالِكُ. Why does it give ilm? Because they use that as a dalil of the magnanimity of all of the scholars, and that is enough to give it that confidence. وَأَنَّ فِيهِمْ, and that وَأَنَّ فِيهِمْ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ اللَّائِقَةِ, that these scholars have got the appropriate sifat, appropriate qualifications, الْمُوجِبَ لِلْقُبُولِ مَا يَقُومُ مَقَامَ الْعَدَدِ الْكَثِيرِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ, which necessitates acceptance similar to that of مَقَامَ الْعَدَدِ الْكَثِيرِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ, that of many people like them. So basically saying that these scholars have got the appropriate qualifications and the appropriate characteristics that they are synonymous to many, many narrators. Okay, the way that you will accept the way that you will accept the narration of many people, okay, similarly, and the reason why you will accept the narration of many people is because you have confidence in the numbers. Okay, so similarly, these scholars, although they don't have a critical mass, but they have a critical yeast, that their characteristic is such that you have confidence in them. So it is as if you do understand the difference between critical mass and critical yeast?
No, I don't.
So critical mass, you understand that, right?
It's
it's quantitative. Critical yeast is basically, yeast goes up, isn't it, in bread, you know, it makes the bread rise.
Right.
So critical yeast basically is qualitative. Okay. So this is what it's saying, that these few scholars in the isnad, they are critical yeast in the sense that they the one of them is equivalent to 100, right? The way that you will have confidence in 100 people, similarly, they have the characteristics to give you that confidence of 100 people. That's critical yeast. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So وَأَنَّ فِيهِ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ اللَّائِقَةِ, that they have appropriate sifat al-mujiba, which necessitates qabul, accepting the narrations, ma yaqumu maqam al-adad al-kathir, which is similar to accepting the narration of many people other than them. Yeah? Does that make sense? Right.
Makes sense.
وَلَا يَتَشَكَّكُ مَنْ لَهُ أَدْنَى مُمَارَسَةٍ بِالْعِلْمِ وَأَخْبَارُ النَّاسِ مثلا أن مالك مثلا لو شافه بخبر أنه صادق فيه فإذا انضاف إليه من هو في تلك الدرجة ازداد قوة وبعد ما يخشى عليه من السهو. And it says ولا يتشكك من له أدنى ممارسة بالعلم, that the person who has got the slightest experience of knowledge, experience in knowledge, basically one who has got the slightest knowledge, wa akhbar al-nas, and knows about the biographies of scholars, akhbar al-nas here means biography of scholars, will know that anna malikan mathalan law shafahahu bi khabarin annahu sadiqun fihi, but if Malik was to tell him a hadith where Malik is saying annahu sadiqun fihi, is like speaking the truth, right? Then anybody who has got slight bit of knowledge of hadith and knows about ilm al-rijal will know that you just accept that. It's like dropping the mic, right? You drop the mic, basically. So it's like anyone. So Imam Malik basically is narrating something and he says, you know, I have confidence in this narration, then anyone who has got any knowledge of ilm al-hadith will basically say that you have to accept it, right? However, he says, فَإِذَا إِنْضَافَ إِلَيْهِ, however, in addition to what Malik is saying, if in addition to that, if another narrator of the same quality is added onto that, like a Shafi'i, right? And then another one added onto that, like Ahmed ibn Hanbal, is that a quwwatan, that fortifies it more. وَبَعُدَ مَا يُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السَّهْوِ, and it is far removed from a fear of that there being a mistake. Yeah.
Right.
So when you have those, you know, so this is basically how authority works, right? How you have confidence in people. When you have a narration where you are confident, right? Then and then there are not only one person you're confident with, but many who you are confident in, then that just, the more people there are that you've got confidence in, the further away that you will have a doubt that there will be a mistake. Your doubt will be further away, isn't it?
God. Yeah.
Okay. وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْوَاعِ الَّتِي ذَكَرْنَاهَا لا يحصل العلم بالصدق الخبر منها إلا لعالم بالحديث المتبحر فيه. And these three things that we have mentioned, right? What are the three things? The three things is the khabar, which is in Bukhari and Muslim and which has not been criticized by anyone. The khabar mashhur, which does not have any weak isnads, and then al-musalsal bil a'imma al-mutqinin al-huffaz. These three, la yahsul al-ilmu bi sidq, only the expert in hadith al-mutabahhir fihi al-'arif bi ahwali riwat, only the expert in hadith, the one who is knowledgeable in the status of narrators, al-muttali' ala al-'ilali, the one who knows about the hidden defect, only that person, that scholar, will be able to know the subtleties of these things. It's not everybody's cup of tea to know the subtleties of this. It's not everybody's cup of tea to know. Okay, Imam Ahmad from Shafi'i, from Malik, that's an obvious one. Everybody knows that, right? But not everybody will know another isnad. Okay, so it's only these the scholars who have studied, they will know. وكون غيره لا يحصل له العلم بصدق ذلك لقصوره عن الأوصاف المذكورة التي ذكرناها لا ينفي حصول العلم بالمتبحر المذكور. And just because وكون غيره, just because someone else cannot have the same level of confidence in those three things, because لقصوره عن الأوصاف المذكورة التي ذكرناها, because these people are short of the qualities that we have just mentioned, which is العالم بالحديث المتبحر فيه العارف بأحوال الرواة, لا ينفع حصول العلم للمتبحر المذكور. This does not mean that the named expert scholar will not have knowledge of that. So basically he's trying to say that those three is a bit more subtle than your متواتر, right? So the khabar you know, the khabar wahid, which is dhanni, everybody kind of knows that, okay? The mutawatir, which is yaqini, everybody knows this. But this is a middle ground, which is it's yaqini, nadari, and not everybody knows which hadith of Bukhari has been critiqued by people, right? Just because it's in Bukhari doesn't mean that it hasn't been critiqued. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that which mashhur ahadith, you know, the isnad is not critiqued by anyone. Not everyone knows the names of Huffaz in the isnad. So just because some people don't know this doesn't necessarily mean that the expert scholars don't know this. This is what he's saying. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. So then he's giving us a summary. He says, وَمُحَصَّلْ الْأَنْوَاءَ الثَّلَاثَةَ التي ذكرناها. And the summary of the three things that we have mentioned is الأول يختص بالصحيحين. The first one is specific to Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. والثاني بما له طرق متعددة. And the second is that which has got a number of isnad lines. And the third one is بما رواه الأئمة, that which the Imam Mutqineen has narrated. So he's basically just given us everything in summary again. So these are the three types. وَيُمْكِنُ إِجْتِمَاعُ الثَّلَاثَ فِي حَدِيثٍ وَاحِدٍ. It is possible that all three of those are found in one hadith. So the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. It is a khabr mashkur, and none of the isnad lines are are weak, and at least in one of the isnad there are imma al mutqinin. So he's basically saying it is possible. He hasn't given an example of that. وَلَا يُبْعَدُ هِنَا إِذِنْ الْقَطْعُ بِصِدْقِ. If the situation is like that, حِنَا إِذِنْ, that all three of them are found in one hadith, then there is وَلَا يُبْعَدُ الْقَطْعُ بِصِدْقِهِ. It is not far-fetched to basically say that we 100% agree that it is true. Yeah, wallahu alam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So he says, the Muhashir says, in that situation, it is almost as if it is like the mutawatir. It is higher than when these three things are individual. This hadith, which has got all three of them together, then that is actually on the level of mutawatir.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense. So each one by itself, he said, achieves certainty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only thing where I feel like it's like, we're kind of repeating ourselves, because each one by itself achieves certainty. But I guess, I mean, is there levels of certainty? If you hit all three, then you're even more certain, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yes. So he's basically saying it reaches the level of mutawatir.
Of mutawatir. Right. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is higher than nadari, it becomes badihi. I was just wondering, right, do you want to carry on, or shall we wait for next time? Because we finished, this discussion is closed. There's another discussion coming.
It's good to carry on, I think. It's good. And they can watch the tape too, you know. So we could maybe start this section. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Because, that's fine. Let me get my notes out. Okay. So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, he discussed khabar mutawatir, he discussed Khabar Mashhoor. And then he basically did a detour on this Muhtaf bil Qara'in. He just touched upon Khabar al-Gharib, but he said he will come back to it. He just touched upon it, but he said he will come back to it. Yeah. So now this is what he's come back in. He's coming back to al-Gharib. He says, "Thumma al-Gharaba." Then al-Gharaba. Today I don't have my computer, so it's proving to be a bit difficult. Okay. ثم الغرابة إما أن تكون. As far as غرابة, غرابة basically means single line of transmission, one person narrating from another person. ثم الغرابة إما أن تكون في أصل السند. Either the gharaba happens in the root of the sanad, which is the root of the sanad, أي في الموضع الذي يدور الإسناد عليها ويرجع. It is the part of the isnad, which is the pivot of the isnad and to which the isnad returns to. ولو تعدد الطرق إليه. If it's the part that the isnad returns to, if there are many transmission lines. So he's saying the asl is the root of the isnad, and the root of the isnad is where the isnad pivots on that, and if there are many isnads fanning from that, then they all return back to it. Okay. وَهُوَ تَرَفُ الَّذِي فِيهِ السَّحَابِ. It's the part of the isnad where the sahabi sits. Okay. So this is quite important to understand, because, you know, sometimes it can get confused as to which is the beginning of the isnad and which is the end of the isnad. Is the beginning of the isnad, if we were to take Bukhari, the author, is that the beginning of the isnad from the point of view of the author? When Imam Bukhari says, حَدَّسَنَا حُمَيْدِيُّ قَالَ حَدَّسَنَا. So from that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the beginning of the isnad? Or is the beginning of the isnad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who's saying it, and then the transmission is going downwards, right? What is the beginning of the isnad? So this is important, because it can get confusing if you don't know which way the isnad is going. Okay, as far as transmission is concerned, transmission means to transmit information from one person to another, then obviously it starts from the Prophet and it goes all the way to the author. That's the transmission. Okay, but as far as the isnad, the way the beginning of the isnad will be the from the point of view of the author. So Imam Bukhari will be at the beginning of the isnad. The Prophet ﷺ will be at the end of the isnad. Okay, so this is as far as beginning and end is concerned. As far as what is the root asal of the isnad, the asal of the isnad is always the side where the Prophet or the Sahaba is, because that's when the isnad, that's where the isnad originates from. Does that make sense? Right. So two terminologies, beginning and asal, is different. The asal is where the isnad originates from. The beginning is the person who is kind of giving you the names of the people in sequence, and the first person to name is the first person in the isnad. That's the beginning of the isnad. Does that make sense?
It does. It gets a little bit tricky, so I gotta write it down, but makes sense.
Okay, so for the purpose of al-gharib, the aslul isnad is to be considered. Okay, so if there is gharaba in the asl of the isnad, right? So either there is gharaba in the asl of the isnad, which is where the sahaba is, أو لا يكون كذلك, بأن يكون التفرد في أثناه أو the غرابة is not in the أصل of the إسناد but is somewhere the تفرد is somewhere in the middle كأن يرويه عن الصحابي أكثر من واحد. Okay, for example, many more than one person narrated a hadith from a sahabi ثم ينفرد بروايته عن واحد منهم شخص واحد. And then afterwards, one person from that group, one person, you know, at a later stage, decides to only narrate on his own. So basically saying you've got the sahabi, many tabi'is narrated from that sahabi, okay? And then maybe from those tabi'is, only one person narrated, and then the transmission line goes in one. Okay, that's what he's right. talking about. Yeah. فالأول الفرد المطلق. The first one is فرد مطلق. فرد مطلق is when there is only one صحابي narrating it. You know, so in the أصل إسناد. كحديث النهي عن بيع الولاء وعن هبته. The hadith of the Prophet prohibiting the power of wala and also giving it away. Wala basically is that a person has freed a slave, and that slave has got no inheritors. So the former master will basically have got the right of wala, meaning that when that slave dies, he will inherit, you know, from that slave. And what people used to do was that what they should trade in that wala, right? And they should sell it or they should give it as a hadiyah. So then the buyer will now inherit from the you know, the slave when the slave dies. So the Prophet he naha an bay' al-wala'i wa an hibatihi. Tafarrada bihi Abdullah ibn Dinar an ibn Umar. So this hadith, only Abdullah ibn Dinar, he only narrated this hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar. وَقَدْ يَنْفَرِدُ بِهِ رَاوٍ عَنْ ذَلِكَ الْمُنْفَرِدِ. So, and sometimes, yeah, and some other person coming afterwards might also be alone in narrating from that lone narrator. ذَلِكَ الْمُنْفَرِدِ here is Abdullah ibn Dinar. كحديث شعب الإيمان, such as the hadith of شعب الإيمان. تفرد به أبو صالح عن أبي هريرة. أبو صالح, he narrated this hadith alone from Abu Huraira, the hadith of شعب الإيمان, yeah, which is the Iman is 99 Iman is 70 and a few. وتفرد به عبد الله بن دينار عن أبي صالح. And Abdullah ibn Dinar was the only one who narrated that from Abu Salih. وَقَدْ يَسْتَمِرُ التَّفَرُّدْ فِي جَمِيعِ رُوَاتِهِ أَوْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ. And the tafarrud carries on in all of the ruwat or most of them. So this is an example of al-fard al-mutlaq. Al-fard al-mutlaq is when the tafarrud happens from the level of the sahabi and the person after him. Okay, and there's a single strand. وفي مسند البزار والمعجم الأوسط للطبراني أمثلة كثيرة لذلك. مسند البزار and معجم الأوسط of Imam Tabarani are books where they have collected these ahadith gharib. Okay, so these are the sources to find gharib ahadith, is the Musnad al-Bazzar and the Mu'jam al-Awsat of Imam al-Tabarani. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Let me ask one question to clarify.
Yes.
If it's one sahabi, he narrated to three tabi'in, and the rest of the chain is all three, until, you know, one of the muhaddithin wrote it down. Is this still al-fard al-mutlaq because it's only one sahabi narrating it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So according to this, right, according to Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani, others basically say that the sahabi, whether the sahabi is alone or not, does not really matter. It's basically if the sahabi is alone, okay? So the example that you've given, yeah?
Yeah.
That example, according to other hadith scholars, is not an example of fardul mutlaq. Okay.
Got it.
But they basically say that the sahabi should not be coming into consideration. Okay. It's only if the next person, the tabi'i, after the sahabi is fard mutlaq, then it is singular. And then there might be three or four people narrating from the tabi'i. So now we have got a sahabi, one sahabi narrating, and then we've got one tabi'i narrating, and then he finds out. According to them, that is fard mutlaq. So there is a difference of opinion, and the fatwa is on the fatwa is on the other opinion. Okay,
hadith.
Yeah.
Got it.
Is that okay? So there are differences of opinion. It's important to know the difference of opinion, because when a scholar basically says this is fard mutlaq, you need to know which definition he's using.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Al-fard al-nisbi summiya bithalika likawni tafarrud fihi hasala bin nisba ila shakhsin mu'ayyin. Fard al-nisbi, relative fard. So this, the first one is fard mutlaq, and the second one where, you know, this one is talking about that the isnad finds out, and then there's one person is only narrating. This is called a relative fard. سُمِّيَ بِذَلِكَ لِكَوْنِ التَّفَرُّدْ فِيهِ حَسَلَ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَىٰ شَخْصٍ مُعِيِّنٍ. It's called فَرْضِ النِّسْبِ because the تَفَرُّد is because of a particular person in the isnad, and not that the isnad from the asl is فَرْض. It's afterwards the isnad becomes singular from the point of view of one person. Okay, so you might have وَإِنْ كَانَ الْحَدِيثُ فِي نَفْسِي مَشْهُورٌ. The hadith might be mashhur in and of itself. Okay, so I mean, there's a few ways of understanding this. Here Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is talking about numbers. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't have my pen with me today, so because of that I'm not able to write. I'll try to do it next time. Another example of, let's say, tafarrud is, tafarrud nisbi is that there are one particular isnad has a special feature in it. For example, let's say the hadith has got, you know, it's quite a big hadith, but if we, with quite a lot of isnad, but if we follow the isnad strands, okay, then there will be one isnad where all of the people in the isnad are from the Ahlul Bayt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of the scholars in that particular isnad, strand of isnad, are from the Ahlul Bayt. This will also be tafarrada bi Ahlul Bayt. Yeah? This is also part of tafarrud.
I'm a little bit confused by that. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Okay. Let's say that you're a teacher, okay? And you are teaching, you know, students in a class.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been teaching the same science topic for 10 years to Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But on the 11th year, you taught exactly the same science, okay? But you taught it to a bunch of Indians, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, from India, mm-hmm. a group of students who are Indians. So for 11 years, so you say 11 years, I have taught science and I taught the syllabus for 11 years. Mm-hmm. But 1 year, it was a unique experience because none of the students were Americans. So you singled mm-hmm. out that. So you've taught science, you've taught the same syllabus, so it comes in within your entire portfolio. But mm-hmm. this one class is singled out because it has a unique feature, and that is that they were not your typical American students. So similarly, Fard Nisbi works like this, that in within a generic hadith, which has got, you know, there's nothing unusual about it. It's got many different isnad strands. But if you were to follow a particular strand of that strand of the isnad might have a unique feature. And that unique feature makes it tafarrud. Okay. Tafarrud is not necessarily bad. It's just basically pointing out that unique feature. So let's say that in that particular isnad, if all of the narrators are from Basra, they say tafarrud bil basriyin.
Yeah. Got it. It was unique to the Basra. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that this tafarrud, okay, does have a particular, effect in the meanings as well, and effect in the hukum as well. Like, for example, if there was a hadith, let's say, saying X, and the Basriyin, the version of the Basriyin, it says Y. And in Basra, the practice is Y. But all the other versions are saying X. So when you compare the versions, you can basically say, well, the Y version is tafarrud bil basriyin, and they probably are biased because that's the practice in their, you know, country, and therefore we do not accept that. Okay. So these tafarruds also do have an effect in the way that we look at the hukum. Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, so now Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi, he is going to come to a discussion of وَيَقِلُّ إِطْلَاقُ الْفَرْضِيَّةِ on the usage of the word فَرْضِيَّةِ. So it's not a technical discussion about what the terminology means, it's just how the noun and the verb فَرْض and غَرِيب is used. He says وَيَقِلُّ إِطْلَاقُ الْفَرْضِيَّةِ عَلَيْهِ. The word تَفَرُّد is seldom used for الْفَرْضُ النِّسْبِ. Okay, so there are two words. One word is gharib and the other word is tafarrud. These are synonymous, in a way, interchangeably used. However, Imam Ibn Hajar is saying, when it is al-fardun nisbi, then the word fard or tafarrud is seldom used. Rather, we call it gharib nisbi. So we call it al-fardul mutlaq and al-gharib al-nisbi. You can say al-fardul mutlaq and al-fardul nisbi, or you can say al-gharib mutlaq, al-gharib nisbi. There's no problem with that. But the usage of that word is al-fard al-mutlaq and al-qarib nisbi. This is just how the muhaddithin use it. And he is drawing our attention to usage. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
So, لِأَنَّ الْغَرِيبَ وَالْفَرْدَ مُتَرَادِفَانِ لُغَةً وَإِسْتِلَاحًا. Because the word غَرِيب and فَرْد, both of them are synonymous from the point of view of language as well as from the point of view of technical terminology. However, إِلَّا أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْإِسْتِلَاحِ. However, except that the people of عِلْمُ الْإِسْتِلَاحِ غَايَرُوا بَيْنَهُمَا مِنْ كَثْرَةُ الْإِسْتِعْمَالِ وَقِلَّتِهِ. They have differentiated between them as to the usage, you know, as to the often usage and seldom usage. فَالْفَرْضُ أَكْثَرُ مَا يُطْلِقُونَهُ عَلَى الْفَرْضِ الْمُطْلَقِ. The term fard most of the time is employed to refer to al-fard al-mutlaq. وَالْغَرِيبُ أَكْثَرُ مَا يُطْلِقُونَهُ عَلَى الْفَرْدِ النِّسْبِ. And the word غَرِيب is mostly used to refer to al-fardu nisbi. Okay? So they'll say, this hadith is fard, it means it's fard al-mutlaq. This hadith is غَرِيب, it's غَرِيب nisbi. Okay? وهذا من حيث إطلاق الاسم عليهما. This is from the point of view of using the noun version of the word. الغريب is a noun. الفرد is a noun. وأما من حيث استعمالهم الفعل المشتق as for using the derivative verb, you know, so the derivative verb from غريب will be أغرب يغرب, and for فرد will be تفرد يتفرد. Right? As for the usage of the verb, فلا يفرقون, they do not make a distinction. فيقولون في المطلق والنسب تفرد به فلان أو أغرب به فلان. So in both فرد مطلق and غريب نسبي, they use تفرد به فلان, or they will use أغرب به فلان. So when it comes to usage of the verb, then they don't make a distinction. They use it for both. But when it comes to usage of the noun, then the word تفرد and فرد is used for الفرد المطلق, and the word غريب is used for غريب نسبي is used for الفرد النسبي. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay, it's just a usage. That's just a, you can argue with it, but that's just how they, you know, they call a spade a spade. Yeah, that's how they do it.
Right. Right.
So here he's basically now giving us another example of usage, which has got nothing to do with gharib and tafarrud, but it's a tangent. Okay, it's an emergent tangent, and he's basically telling us this by and by. Okay, it's not a part of this discussion, but because he's talking about usage of language, he's going to give us another example of the usage of language. So he says, وَقَرِيبٌ مِّنْ هَذَا, and similar to that is اِخْتِلَافُهُمْ فِي الْمُنْقَطِعِ وَالْمُرْسَلِ, the اختلاف on the usage of the word مُنْقَطِع and مُرْسَل. Okay, hadith مُنْقَطِع is a hadith where there is a drop in the middle of the isnad. Okay, and that breakage is not there's no two breakage simultaneously. It's a break in the middle of the isnad. Hadith mursal is when there is a drop in the end of the isnad, when the tabi'i is missing out the sahabi and directly narrating from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, this is as far as technical usage is concerned. هل هما متغايران أو لا? So there is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to whether these two are different terminologies or are they two different synonyms for the same concept. فأكثر المحدثين على التغاير لكنه عند إطلاق الاسم. Most of the muhaddithun are saying that these are referring to two different concepts. Okay, what are the two different concepts? The two different concepts is mursal is used to refer to a breakage at the end of the isnad, i.e. when the tabi'i does not narrate directly from the sahabi, misses the sahabi out, and quotes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly with no intervention of the sahabi. This is called mursal. The munqati is where there is a break in the middle of the isnad. Okay, so فأكثر المحدثين على التغاير, most of the scholars are of the opinion that there is a difference between them. However, that difference between the terminology of munqati and mursal is only لكنه عند إطلاق الاسم, only when the nouns are being used. Okay, munqati and mursal. وَعَمَّا عِنْدَ إِسْتِعْمَالِ الْفَعْلِ الْمُشْتَقِ, as for usage of the derivative verb in the verbal form, فَيَسْتَعْمِلُونَ الْإِرْسَالِ فَقَطْ, the only verb that they use is for إِرْسَال. Right? فَيَقُولُ أَرْسَلَهُ فُلَانٌ, they basically say أَرْسَلَهُ فُلَانٌ سَوَاءٌ كَانَ ذَلَكَ مُرْسَلًا أَمْ مُنْقَطِعًا, irrelevant of whether they referring to the mursal isnad or referring to the munqati isnad. They won't say إِنْقَطَعَهُ فُلَانٌ, they'll just say أَرْسَلَهُ فُلَانٌ. Yeah? So when it comes to the verbal usage of it, they only use arsala. But when it comes to the noun, then they make a distinction between munqati and mursal. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And it's similar to the earlier discussion. He's trying to show the analogy here.
Yeah, the only difference is in this previous discussion, when it comes to the verbal, they use tafarrada and aghraba. Here, when it comes to the verbal derivative, they only use arsala, they don't use in qata'a. That's why he says it's qareeb, it's close, but not 100%.
Got it.
Yeah. وَمِنْ ثَمَّ أَتْلَقَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِّمَّنْ لَمْ يُلَاحِظْ مَوَاقِعَ إِسْتِعْمَالِهِمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُغَايِرُونَ بَيْنَ الْمُرْسَلِ وَالْمُنْقَطِعِ وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ لِمَا حَرَّرْنَهُ. And because of this, وَمِنْ ثَمَّ, and because of this, the fact that they do not distinguish between, they only use one verb to refer to both of them, which is arsala. أَطْلَقَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ, more than one person who مِمَّنْ لَمْ يُلَاحِظْ مَوَاقِعَ إِسْتِعْمَالِهِمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ, more than one person who has not scrutinized the places, the usage of many of the muhaddithun, claim أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُغَارِيُرُونَ بَيْنَ الْمُرْسَلِ وَالْمُنْقَطِعِ, that they do not distinguish between مُرْسَل and مُنْقَطِعِ, وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ لِمَا حَرَّرْنَهُ, and it's not like that, like as we have mentioned. He's saying many people, more than one person, so he's probably got somebody in mind, but he's not telling us, that said that there's no difference between مُنْقَطِعِ and مُرْسَل, because all he read somewhere that ulama have said arsalahu fulan, and he's referring to arsala as arsalahu fulanun, he's referring to the arsala here as a munqati. Another place says arsalahu fulan, and he's referring to the mursalun. And somebody saw this and said, well, the word arsala is used for both munqati and mursal, therefore it must mean that they do not distinguish between them two. Imam Ibn Hajar says that these people have not really gone and studied the usage of the ulama, and therefore they're making these blunders. The usage of the ulama is that when it comes to noun, then they make a distinction between the two terminologies. But when it comes to the fa'al, then they only use arsala, they don't use in qata'a. But that doesn't mean that arsala, you know, that they believe that mursal and munqati is the same. وَقَلَّ مَنْ نَبَّهَ عَلَى النُّكْتَ فِي ذَلِكَ, and very few people have taken note of this subtle point. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. Okay, and Allah knows best. So we will stop here, okay, it's 7 o'clock, because this is a completely new discussion.
Shukran.
I will see you in two weeks' time, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you so much.
No problem. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum.